Good afternoon, happy Sabbath. Safe to Serve International joining us online, happy Sabbath. You know, it does take a miracle for us to be alive today, and we cannot take that for granted. And that's why today, before I get into the lesson, I want us to focus on what the Lord has in store for us. Before I get into the word, I have a few quick announcements. And before I take those announcements, I want to say, it does take a crowd to pull a crowd. Do you understand what that cliche mean? It does take a crowd to pull a crowd. As people see that a lot of people are gathered at a particular event, on a particular platform, then something must be taking place worthwhile that has drawn all these people. And I firstly want to thank you all for actually making the sacrifice to join us on social media this week on the platform called X, July 8th through July 12th. As by God's grace, we went there to sow some gospel seeds and to water some gospel seeds. And you all turned up and actually watched the videos. I'm thankful that you actually commented, interacted with the videos, and also shared the videos with others. We covered the topic banned content on social media, liberty of conscience threatened. Liberty of conscience threatened. So I want to thank you again for that. And all throughout this week, I was sharing with you that there's a bonus presentation, and that bonus presentation comes to us on this Monday. I'll be interviewing, having a pertinent conversation with Brian Wilson. Brian Wilson is associated with InfoWars and Alex Jones. So that would be on Monday, not on this platform where we are right now, on You Woke, my name for them, You Woke, but will be on X. So please, I'm going to ask you again to make one more sacrifice to join us on what day? Monday, that's July 15th at 1 p.m. Eastern. What time? 1 p.m. Eastern for this important conversation with Brian Wilson, InfoWars, Alex Jones. I want to say this quickly, that it's apparent that we made a dent in the devil's kingdom this week. There's an actual, on day number two, all the days, but specifically on day number two, we talk about numbers, not because we are arrogant and braggadocious and it's about pride, but nobody actually makes a product for public consumption and keep that product under a bushel, locked up in a store, in storage. No, whatever we make and we manufacture for public consumption, we want the people to view it, to see it, interact with it, and also to receive it. Amen? So at some point, we have to consider numbers. It's a part of the game. And this is a game of life. And the devil is playing for keeps. But God wants to win us in this game called life. On day number two, that conversation interview with J.J. Carroll, that video that's on X, we extracted an actual clip from that and posted it on Instagram. I'm not sure what the number is right now, but the last time I checked, maybe Elder Buchanan can help me out there, what number we have there. That's what, 312. So we have over 300,000 views on that one clip on Instagram that we did this past Tuesday. So a dent has been made. A dent has been made, and we have to continue this work for Jesus Christ. That's where the people are, and they are talking about the events transpiring. They're talking about censorship. They're talking about blacklisting. They're talking about liberty of conscience being threatened. And we have to join the conversation, because really and truly, we should have started the conversation. We're always lagging behind. We're always the tail when God called us as Seventh-day Adventists to be the head. but we are behind. And that's what volume 9, page 29 says. We are years behind. And while we're here sleeping, the devil has stolen a march upon us. But what we need to do, we have to do before it is too late. Get your writing instrument as we get into God's word right now. I'm going to ask you kindly to make a note of four things I'm going to cover today. I'm going to speak about two specific mountains. How many mountains? Two specific mountains, but I'm actually going to mention four from the Bible. How many? Four. So please write down the four mountains I mentioned from the Bible. And children, if you can follow that, four mountains I'm going to mention from the Bible. And at the close of this lesson, I will take up those four mountains. At this time, join me in prayer as we get into God's word. Let's all kneel at this time. Father in heaven, we're thankful for your blessings here on this, your holy Sabbath, a day of rest. We pray for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon us. Grant us former rain and latter rain. May we treat this message as if it were the last. The next moment, tomorrow, is not promised to any one of us. Anything can happen. And I pray that we'll make sure that we have made our calling and election sure. May we be in that number, going home with you. As you open up your words, inspire us. Breathe life into the written word, that we can become as the living word, like Christ, the living word. He is life, and we are simply lively stones. Bless us now, we pray. Feed us with fresh bread from heaven's bakery. We thank you for hearing. We thank you for answering. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Anybody here going through a time of storm? Anyone going through crises? If so, raise your hand, my friends. I got my two hands up. Going through crises, I want you all to listen and pay attention today. I want to begin by talking about the storms of life and what needs to be done in order to endure and to persevere through the storms of life in Testimonies for the Church. Volume 3 and page 115, we're told, adversities. What did I say, friends? Yes, my friends, your trials, your adversities, your crises are God's workmen to refine us, sanctify us, and to fit us for the heavenly garner. So as we go through crises, we must thank God. Trials, affliction, crosses, adversities, and all the other varied trials are God's workmen to refine us, sanctify us, and to fit us for the heavenly garner. Book that statement and don't forget it. Volume 3, page 115. And on June 29th, 2024, right here, we had our day of fasting and prayer. And that was 14 days ago. So why am I referencing an event that took place 14 days ago? It's because that experience of fasting and prayer is what we are going to need more frequently in order to endure the storms of life. And Paul in the Bible is brought to view as an example, one whom we should imitate. And the Bible says that Paul fasted and prayed for 14 days, 2 weeks, in order to go through a literal storm as well as a spiritual storm. It was a life and death matter. Look with me at Acts 27. The Bible says in verse number 14 of Acts chapter 27, it says that they came up against a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And verse number 18 of Acts 27, that storm beat upon the ship. And verse number 31, Paul says to the centurion and to all the soldiers, except these abide in the ship. One more time. Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. And verse 33 confirm that Paul was fasting for 14 days. And then he partook of some substance after the storm, after the crisis. And inspiration brings to view what the final crisis is going to be that all of us have to encounter. And what is that last crisis? It's the time of the mark of the beast, great controversy, page 608, says, as a storm approaches, a large class who have once professed faith in the third angel's message, but have not been sanctified through obedience to God's truth, abandon their position and join the ranks of the opposition by uniting with the world and partaking of its spirit. They have come to view matters in nearly the same light. And when the test is brought, they are prepared to choose the easy and the popular side. That's the final storm. Revelation chapter 14, go there with me. It's brought to view in verse 9 through verse 12, the final storm. And the Bible now shows us the final storm consists of the three great temptations that Satan brought against Christ in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through verse 11. And if you notice, the third temptation from Satan to Christ was over worship. Was over what, friends? It was over worship. The final storm is over worship. And look what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4. And what was Christ doing in order to endure those storm of three temptations? He was fasting and what? Praying for how long? For 40 days and 40 nights. Matthew chapter 4. Got that? Matthew chapter 4. Look with me. That's verse 1 through verse 11. And once Christ fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights and overcame the storm of those three temptations, the Bible says that Jesus began his public ministry, aggressive, effective evangelism. Look at verse 17. What you already know, I don't spend time on. Look at verse 17. If you're there, just say amen. The Bible says from that time, Jesus began to what? To preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. After fasting and praying, he began public evangelism. So what are we to focus on as a people since June 29th, 2024? That Sabbath day of fasting and prayer. What must we focus on right now? On the wall, you have that statement. Ministry of Healing. You think it's there just to waste time and to fill space? Page 148 of Ministry of Healing says, the Church of Christ is organized for service. For what? So Safe to Serve is organized for what? So Safe to Serve local, Safe to Serve international. We are organized for what? For service. Our watchword is ministry. Preachers must not only minister to others, but teach the flock how to minister. It's time for aggressive, effective evangelism. So what is the purpose for Sabbath school? To prepare you for evangelism. What's the purpose for even midday power surge lessons? Prepare you for effective evangelism. What's the purpose for the evening Bible studies on Sabbath? Prepare you for effective evangelism. What's the purpose for these sermons? Prepare you for effective evangelism. What's the purpose for the Sabbath evening service called Defend Your Faith? Prepare you for effective, aggressive evangelism. Effective evangelism. Great controversy. The inspiration says in page 70, it says the Spirit of Christ is a missionary spirit. Repeat after me. The Spirit of Christ is a missionary spirit. Church. The Spirit of Christ. Thank you. The Spirit of Christ is a missionary spirit. The first, the very first impulse. Touch your heart. You can feel the heart, the pulsing. The very first impulse of the renewed heart is to lead a soul to the Savior. Am I converted? Are you converted? Are you converted? This was the experience of the Voodoo Christians, the Waldensian Christians, the Huguenots Christians. The first impulse of the renewed heart is to lead a soul to Christ. This is aggressive, effective evangelism. Matthew chapter 4. And we're told, as you can see on the chart, on the screen, that from Christ's baptism in AD 27, then came the day of fasting and prayer for 40 days and 40 nights. Christ was then crucified in the year 31 AD, which means that from his baptism to his actual crucifixion, he had only 3.5 years to make a long-lasting impression in the work of salvation. 3.5 years before his death. So what are we to realize and understand? We don't have much time. Death can come at any time. We don't have much time. My friends, 2024 to 2030, all these major crises are all converging. How much time do we have left? We don't have much time, friends. We don't have much time. And let me tell you something. That's why Christ said in John chapter 9 and verse number 4, and Christ's words must be our words. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Why? The night cometh when no man can work. We're talking about death. The night cometh when no man can work. We're talking about the close of human probation. The night cometh when no man can work. The Pope is focusing on these years to 2030. The WHO is focusing on these years to 2030. The UN is focusing on this year to 2030. The WEF is focusing on 2024 to 2030. The book The Desire of Ages and the book Great Controversy speaks about the 6,000 years in the plan of salvation. Yes, my friends. And we're told in the year 2031, we were brought to the 4,000th year of the 6,000. You add 2,000 to 31 AD. Tell me what number you get. We're in the time period. I didn't say Christ will come in 2031. Don't misquote me. I didn't say the second coming of Christ or the mark of the beast would take place in 2031. What I'm saying to you is, all these dates and years have all these significant events converging at the same apex. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. I wonder why. The night cometh. Finish it. When what? Come on. One more time. When what? When no man can work 3.5 years. Go to the book of Acts chapter 2. 3.5 years of Christ's earthly ministry. Then the Bible says the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And from the Holy Spirit being outpoured, then came the harvesting of souls. People always say, Pastor, you're too aggressive. To what? Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. I waste so many years in the world. I should have been dead or in prison, locked behind bars and keys, thrown away because of my life of past sin and rebellion. But God has seen it fit to give me another lease on life, a respite, a second chance, a third chance. And now you would tell me I'm too aggressive? It's time to redeem the time. Ephesians chapter 5. And verse number 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We can never redeem time in going back in history, but we can stop wasting more time. Do I hear amen? Yes, my friend, redeem that time. So all you folks who comment, you keyboard gangsters, Pastor, you're too brash. You're too aggressive. Go pray. Amen. And weep between the porch and the Lord. Am I ready? Am I ready? Yours truly spent so many years in the dance hall, and I was very energetic in the dance hall. I was very energetic and aggressive talking about worldly Jamaican music, etc., etc. I was very aggressive in spending money on vanity. So why can I not now spend God's money in his work? I was very aggressive in actually promoting demonism and Satanism. So why can I not now be aggressive in promoting godliness and righteousness, the Bible and spirit of prophecy? I was very aggressive in not even sleeping. Why? I had to be on my tippy toes for the devil. So why can I not now lose some sleep? For Jesus Christ, all night prayer meeting, redeeming the time, the days are evil. Friends, I'm telling you, I spent so many years in sin, so why can I not now redeem the time? Don't tell me to be quiet. Don't tell me to tone it down. Someone once said, while I was there at Oakwood, I'm going to give you 5 years. 5 years, and after 5 years, you're going to tone down. That was what? 2002? We're now in 2024. You do the calculation. redeeming the time. The days are evil. I always say, let's work as aggressively now and rest later. Work aggressively now and rest later. I have already reserved my vacation. And what is my vacation? That vacation at the second coming of Christ. With Christ, I will spend 1,000 years, and the 1,000 years in heaven is a time of rest. The great millennium. Work now and rest later. Have you made your reservation? But you can't rest unless you work. Don't you claim to be Seventh-day Adventists? Sabbath keepers? 6 days shalt thou labor, do all thy work, then rest. And that's why the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 12, the Bible says the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. The rest of a laboring man is sweet. I'll rest later. Let's work for Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2. Jesus said, at the age of 12, know you not? I must be about my Father's business. Work because the night draweth near when no man can work. And just as it was with Christ, 3.5 years, then came rain. One more time, 3.5 years, then came Pentecost, and then souls were brought in. Acts chapter 2, where are we going to? Look at verse 1 through verse 4. Pentecost came after 3.5 years. That's verse 1 through verse 4. Then the Bible says in verse 41, souls were baptized. Verse 47, a harvest of souls. And as it was with Christ, 3.5 years, then rain, Holy Spirit, and then the harvest of souls. So it was in the time of Elijah. Go with me to James chapter 5. You watch this. James, what chapter are we going to? Open your Bibles, my friends. James chapter 5, it says in verse 17, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. It rained not on the earth. By the space of 3 years and 6 months, 3.5 years, verse 18, and he prayed again, the Bible says, and the heaven gave rain. Let's read now. And the earth brought forth her fruit. 3.5 years, then came rain. And once rain fell, then came harvest. If that makes sense, say amen. I didn't hear all of you. Ah, my friends, and the Bible tells us in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and verse 6, the experience of Elijah is the experience of God's people in the last days. So how did Elijah, after 3.5 years and the rain fell, how did Elijah bring in a harvest of souls? Listen to me attentively. The Bible says that Elijah summoned Ahab, summoned the prophets of Jezebel, summoned the prophets of Baal, summoned all of Israel to Mount Carmel. Where, my friends? Mount Carmel. Put that down. Mount Carmel was the meeting place. Mount Carmel was the place where Elijah said to all those who were on that mount, if the Lord be God, serve him. Follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. So Mount Carmel was not only a meeting place, but Mount Carmel was a place to have a conversation. If that makes sense, say amen. Mount Carmel was also a place of debate. Who is right? God or Baal? Mount Carmel represents a place, a meeting place, where lies and deceptions are exposed. But truth is exalted. Does that make sense? If it makes sense, amen. But I wondered, why was the mount called Carmel? Mount Carmel. Why Mount Carmel? Why not Mount Everest? Of course, it's different location. Geographically, Mount Everest is one place. Mount Carmel is over there. Why not Mount Everest? Why Mount Carmel? Think with me. Why not Mount Kilimanjaro? By the way, those of you from Jamaica, those of you from the dance hall, I did not say Kilimanjaro. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. A name called Kilimanjaro. Jamaicans always take words and twist them up to justify their culture. That's in the dance hall, a sound system. Kilimanjaro. No. It's called Kilimanjaro. But nowadays, those gangsters in Jamaica call their hoodlums Killy Killy. Lord have mercy. Kill Kilimanjaro? Why not Kilimanjaro, the mount? Why Mount Carmel? Why not Mount Blue? Like Blue Mountains in Jamaica, Blue Mountains in Australia. Why Mount Carmel? Put this down. Because Carmel means plentiful. Carmel means fruitful. Carmel means a lot. And that was where, think about it, that was where Elijah summoned all of Israel. Carmel, if it makes sense, say amen. By the way, there was a no good man in the Bible called Nabal. Do you know where Nabal was from? Carmel. He had all the sheep and the vegetables, and David sent men. Go tell Nabal to give me some goods. Ah, oh, my friend. Carmel, plentiful. Carmel, fruitful. But Nabal was selfish, and David was going to be a killy-killy. And kill a man, Nabal. But Abigail said, come on, David, control thyself. Carmel, cut that. Carmel, fruitful. Carmel, plentiful. Carmel, a lot. So what would Mount Carmel represent today? Where do the majority, a lot of people meet to iron out issues? A lot of people meet to expose misinformation, expose disinformation, expose malinformation, expose conspiracies, and to exalt facts, exalt truth. Mount Carmel today is the internet. Mount Carmel today is the social media platforms. Mount Carmel even on X. 1 Kings chapter 18. Where are we going to, my friends? Let's go. 1 Kings chapter 18. Look what the Bible says. I thank you, my friends, for what you did this week. 1 Kings chapter 18. Look carefully at verse number 17. And Ahab saw Elijah. And Ahab said to Elijah, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And why is Facebook? Why is you woke? You catch it? You caught it? Why is you woke censoring? Because they label us as troubling them. Verse number 18. But Elijah answered Ahab and said, I'm not troubled, Israel, but thou and thy father's house, the government and church and state union, you're the ones in conspiracy. You have not followed God's commandments, but forsaken God's commandments. And now you are following Baal. And verse number 19, Elijah said, send and gather to me all Israel unto where? Come on, talk to me. Unto Mount Carmel, fruitful. Mount Carmel, plentiful. Mount Carmel, a lot of people. Baal's prophets, Jezebel's prophets. Verse number 20, Ahab sent and called all the Israelites, all the prophets, to Mount Carmel. And verse 21, here's where Elijah ironed out the truth, exposed lies and deception. Verse 21, and Elijah came upon Mount Carmel to all the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, if this is truth, follow it. Don't follow Baal's prick. Don't follow Jezebel's poison. Don't follow Jezebel's wine. If the Lord be God, natural remedies. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. And the Bible says the people answered him, not a word, not a word, not a word. So what message must be proclaimed on modern day Mount Carmel, the internet, modern day Mount Carmel on X? What must be presented even on You Woke, on Facebook, on Rumble? What must be presented? Great controversy. Page 606 says, the sins of Babylon will be laid open. The what, my friends? It says, the fearful results of enforcing the observances of the church by civil authority. What is civil authority? Is that not the civil government? Is that not state? So now, what are we to watch? What must we be vigilant looking at? Politics, laws coming from civil authorities, but the cynics and the scoffers say to yours truly, Pastor Enriquez, stop talking about politics. Don't talk about what the government and church are doing. Don't talk about politics. You spend too much time on current events. You see, first, those cynics and scoffers don't have the message to reach the people on modern day Mount Carmel. There it is. Church the fearful result of enforcing. Is that not politics? The observances of the church by civil authority, church and state uniting. And you have even some so-called present truth, some so-called conservative media platforms in the SDA community that call us dreadventist. And he actually, that platform, defined what dreadventist is and are. They said people who always see a Sunday law coming in current events. Those men are crying peace and safety, and God is not going to use them. They are dumb. That won't even bark. It says the inroads of spiritualism, the stealthy but rapid progress of the papal power, all will be unmasked. So what are we to expose? Who must we uncover on modern day Mount Carmel? The rapid progress of the papal power. And what would the papacy bring? What will the image bring? Will they not bring the mark of the beast, Sunday worship by law? That's politics, my friends. By these solemn warnings, the people will be stirred. Thousands, praise God, how many friends? Thousands upon thousands will listen on X, will listen on You Woke, will listen on Rumble, will listen on Instagram, will listen on TikTok. Not TikTok. Thousands upon thousands will listen who have never heard words like these. In amazement, they hear the testimony that Babylon is that church. Mercy. So what must we present on modern day Mount Carmel? We must explain who Babylon is in the book of Revelation, because inspiration says, last sentence, in amazement they hear the testimony that Babylon is the church. Mercy. You see, friends, growing up in Jamaica, the Rastafarians and those who were somewhat traditional and those who were somewhat Protestants, they were against the government and the prime minister and both parties. They would say Babylon. Everything for them, any and every oppressive power, they call Babylon. They say the prime minister is Babylonian. They call JLP Babylon, PNP Babylon. Everything is any oppressive power, they call Babylon. In some sense, they are correct. But based on the Bible, who is Babylon? Babylon is a church, brothers and sisters. If that makes sense, just say amen. Babylon is a church. That church falling because of her errors and sins, because of her rejection of the truth sent to her from God. And once they hear the present truth, and that chapter in the book, Great Controversy, that page is called The Final Warning. Yet people are saying, Pastor Enriquez, don't talk about these things. It shows they don't have the final warning. If that makes sense, say, Lord, have mercy. Look what this says in 1 Kings chapter 18. And the Bible says in verse 39, and when all the people saw the truth from Elijah, and heard the truth from Elijah, they fell on their faces. And they now said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. But in verse number 21, they answered Elijah, not a word. Yes, I screamed that one. Because right now on social media, on modern day Mount Carmel, well, we're plenty of people, a lot of people are meeting as we're sowing gospel truth. Watering gospel truth, you may never see the results of your labor right now. Just as in verse 21, Elijah did not see the fruit until in verse 40 and verse 41, the people now said, yes, the Lord, he is God. Oh, brothers and sisters, here's one video. J.J. Carroll, you remember the video I said got over 300,000 views? Here's what he said. The Lord, he is God. And in that conversation, this past Tuesday on X, the man actually understood that the papacy is an Antichrist power. Even though he claims to be a Roman Catholic, are scales falling off their eyes? You're acting as if you were born holy. We all grew up in truth. Gradual, progressive. J.J. Carroll, speak to us. I don't like doing this. It breaks my flow.
What pierces my heart is I'm a devout Catholic, and everything you're saying is correct. The Pope, he is fallible. He hasn't any extra gifts. If you listen to what he says, he's a Marxist Jesuit. My pushback on the Pope is always, if you don't like walls, sir, if you don't think walls are important, yes, then why don't we tear down your 50-foot walls in the Vatican? Why don't we sell off your billions, if not trillions, of dollars of artwork and gold inside the Vatican? Jesus Christ did not ever ask people to join him and to spread his word and have cooks, maids, drivers have wearing stupid hats. You are the Pharisees of today. I am disgusted at my faith leaders. I believe strongly in my faith, but the faith leaders have failed us, and not just a Catholic, but all faith dominations. I'm driving around and I see Christian churches with LGBTQ flags flying.
Mercy. So now, which SDA local church could J.J. Carroll even attend? Because you know, many, not all, many of the local SDA churches, they promote sodomy directly, indirectly. They do it. Pride Month. You see my point? So where is the final warning? Not only J.J. Carroll, but also Dr. Peter McCullough. He was talking about the book, The Great Controversy, Where Seed Stones. He said we must read the last 8 chapters. Well, one of the last 8 chapters in the book Great Controversy is connected to the final warning. It's only a matter of time. Just keep sowing the seeds, watering seeds, and Christ will have a harvest again. 3.5 years, then Christ began. The rain began to fall, harvesting of souls. Peter McCullough talked to us. I don't like doing this, but just for you, I'll break my flow.
I heard from the grapevine that you read the book, The Great Controversy. Is that true? Would you recommend it?
I would recommend it greatly. I would recommend the same thing that was recommended to me by my Adventist friends, to read the last 8 chapters first and then go back and read the entire book, which does foreshadow so much of what's going on right now. And I won't spoil it for people who haven't yet read it, but my Adventist friends know what I'm talking about. She seemed to see the future that is playing out right here, right now.
And I believe in that same book, she actually spoke about these pestilences and some key players, even the work of Babylon in the last days, that I really want people to go and get that book, The Great Controversy. It will change your life for the better, as it is changing my life for the better.
Amen. Babylon, my friends, the final warning. So again, I ask, will you join me this coming Monday? What time? 1 Kings chapter 19. And once Jezebel, now the apostate woman, the apostate church, once she understood what happened on Mount Carmel, Mount Carmel, plentiful. Mount Carmel, fruitful. Mount Carmel, a lot of people were there. And Jezebel's, Ahab's deceptions were exposed, and God's truth was exalted. And people fled from Jezebel, fled from Baal, and said, the Lord, he is God. The Bible says Jezebel did not sit back idly and watch that come to pass. In 1 Kings chapter 19, Jezebel began to attempt to kill Elijah. So what will take place on modern day Mount Carmel platforms? They're going to censor us. They're going to blacklist us. We may not even be able to enter some countries, just as Christ could not travel. What happened in Bible times will happen in the last days. They will try to prosecute us. Yes, try also to persecute us, just as they did to Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 19. The Bible says in verse 1 that Jezebel launched a threat at Elijah. And verse number 2, Jezebel said, if I don't kill you by tomorrow. Jezebel was a modern day killy killy. If I don't kill you by tomorrow, my name will change. And that's how we speak in Jamaica. If I don't do this tomorrow, I don't name so-and-so. I don't name Andrew Enriquez. That's how we would speak colloquially. If I don't cut off your head by tomorrow, I'm not Jezebel. And verse number 3 says that Elijah ran for his life. And let me be clear, modern day, Mount Carmel. We will not always have access to modern-day Mount Carmel because one day, very, very soon, our access is going to be cut off, just as during the pandemic, our rights, freedom of speech were curtailed, our rights, freedom of the press was also trampled underfoot. We're not going to have access to modern-day Mount Carmel forever. And this week, the brother on my left, yes, the young evangelist asked, Pastor, since we won't have access to social media very, very soon, how will the loud cry be given? How will the loud cry be given? Courtesy, Evangelist Carlos. How will the loud cry be given? And it dawned on me, that means modern day, Mount Carmel, social media, the internet, right now we must use it simply to sow seeds. Simply to water seeds, so that when the latter rain falls in full measure, as we go door to door, as we go house to house, the loud cry message will be given, not on the media. We are going to be banned from the media. The loud cry message primarily will be given house to house, if that makes sense, amen. Great controversy, page 612. It says the message will be carried not so much by argument as by the deep conviction of the Spirit of God. The arguments have been presented. Where were the arguments presented? On modern day Mount Carmel. Third sentence, the seed has been sown. Where were the seeds sown? On modern day Mount Carmel. And now it will spring up and bear fruit. Watch now, watch. Blue words, the publications distributed by missionary workers have exerted their influence. Stop right there. Publications, that means the books and Bibles that God's foot soldiers gave out into the community. But publishing is not only the tangible books. There's also called something called digital publishing. What is that? What is that? Internet. Digital publishing. What is that? That's social media. Modern day Mount Carmel. But it says some people will be prevented from accepting present truth. Last sentence. Black words. But when the latter rain comes, the ray of light. When the loud cry is given, the honest children of God will sever the bands which have held them. So what must we now do on modern day Mount Carmel? Sow the seeds. Do I hear amen? Amen. Family connections, church relations are powerless to stay there now. The truth is more precious than all besides. Volume 9, page 41 says, listen attentively what we're told. Preaching will not do the work that needs to be done. God's angels will attend us to the homes of those we visit. Preaching will not do the work. Money lent, money given will not accomplish it. But by paying the people a visit, praying with them, sympathizing with them, talking with them, you will win hearts. This is the highest missionary work that you can do. Not modern day Mount Carmel. No, not on the internet. No, it's house-to-house evangelism. If that makes sense, my friends, say amen. And one thing I want to drive home is that the majority of the professed SDA preachers, majority, not all, majority, and the people, they don't have the message to reach the people on modern-day Mount Carmel. They don't have the message. And the sad reality is, I want to be very clear that when present truth is absent from these churches, when present truth is void in these churches, then entertainment fills the gap. Yes, my friends, then circus is brought into the church. The majority of the local SDA churches, they don't have the message to reach people on modern day Mount Carmel. I don't like doing this. Education, page 179 says, the present is a time of overwhelming interest to all living. Watch this. Rulers, statesmen, men who occupy positions of trust and authority, thinking men, and women of all classes have their attention fixed upon the events taking place about us. Who are these people? Rulers, statesmen, where are they? Thinking men and women, their eyes are fixed on the crises going on in America, in Jamaica, in Africa, in Asia, in Europe, in Australia. Where are they? Unmuzzled, where are they? They're on X, on a few on a Rumble. How often are their eyes on the crises? It's on the crisis daily. So when must we be actively engaged on modern day Mount Carmel? Every single day. They are watching the strained, restless relations that exist among the nations. They observe the intensity that is taking possession of every earthly element, and they recognize, listen, that something great and decisive is about to take place, that the world, though America, is on the verge of a stupendous crisis. The pandemic, they're watching it. Climate change, they're watching it. Disease X, they're watching it. CBDC, they're watching it. A global digital ID, they're watching it. Their eyes are on the sodomy movement. The left, they're watching it. The right, the election, their eyes are on the crises. Civil war coming to America, their eyes are on the crises. Next paragraph says, God's angels are now restraining the winds of strife that they may not blow until, brothers and sisters, if we don't know about these current events as they are fulfilling prophecy, we cannot reach the thinking men and women, the rulers and statesmen who are on modern day Mount Carmel, Exodus chapter 32. And as I just said, my friends, listen attentively, as I just said, when present truth is void in the majority of the local SDA churches, that's when Satan comes in with worldliness and fills the vacuum. It's no different than in Matthew chapter 12. The Bible says, when a devil is exorcised from a person and cast out of a man, it says the man began to keep his life, his house empty, swept and garnished. And then that devil who was once cast out said, I'm going to return from whence I came. And the Bible says that devil brings seven more devils worse than him. Occupy the man, and the latter experience of the man is worse than the first. When present truth is not being preached, when present truth is not coming from the pulpit, then my friends, it is a drama in the SDA churches. It's frivolity in the SDA. It is frolic madness in the SDA churches. Look what this says, Exodus chapter 32. I want to be very clear today. Do you know the Sunday preachers? Who did I say? The Sunday preachers, because they don't have the message to convict and convert the population, do you know what they attempt to do? Let's use the state to pass laws to force people to become Christians, because the Sunday preachers don't have a potent gospel message. If that's clear, say amen. But there is a version for Seventh-day Adventist pastors, because they're preaching a diluted message, because they're preaching Babylon sermons, because they're drinking from Jezebel's bar, Jezebel's tavern. They're drunk with Jezebel's wine and eating from Jezebel's table. So now, in order to keep people coming to church, to keep people putting money in their offering plate, what do? They bring a circus in the church. Sports, fill the pulpits, give the kids entertainment and competition. That's it. Give them a puppet show. Gimmicks. Have you never read in the book Great Controversy? Huh? Where it was 6-year-olds and 8-year-olds children that were preaching the first angel's message. And praise God for my son Christian, because yesterday for the channel Prophesy Again Youth, he was giving a Vesper talk and spoke about how God will use young people to present the final warning present truth message in the last days as he used 6-year-olds and 8-year-olds. But we give our children and young people gimmicks and frolic. Look what this says, Exodus chapter 32. What do you find there? Watch carefully. In verse number 1, God's word says, Moses left the camp and went into the mount. Into where? He loved that mount. He went into that mount. Who did God give the Ten Commandments? Moses. So did he have the truth? He went up there to get the Ten Commandments. Is that point clear? He left the camp. And what took place in the camp once Moses and truth, as it were absent? What happened in the camp? Verse number 2. Verse number 3, they brought in jewelry wearing. What's happening in the majority of the local Seventh-day Adventist churches? The wearing of jewelry, the wedding band, the wedding ring, the nose ring, earrings, necklaces, jewelry, a sign that present truth is void. If you did not know any better, God winked. But now you know. God's word does not justify and condone the wearing of jewelry. Now you know. Let no man deceive you. Your salvation is worth more than men's applause. What else? They brought in image worship, idolatry. They brought in false worship. Look at verse number 5 and verse number 6. They began to eat and drink. It's all about fun. Do you realize when these local churches call for prayer meeting, if they call for prayer meeting, hardly anybody shows up. But let them call for a banquet. Yeah, let's have a Christmas dinner, Easter sunrise dinner. Let's have a gathering, a birthday party. You can't find space and seat for all the attendees. It's packed, filled to capacity. Why? It's void of present truth. Look at that, my friends. They rose up to play gimmicks in the church. Pastors who should be preaching with power, conviction, with passion, are laughing and giving jokes in the pulpit. Jokes in the pulpit. No wonder Sister White wrote that we have actors on the stage. They speak of things which are not real, as if they're real. But pastors in the churches, in the pulpits, they speak of things real as if they're fiction. No wonder their sermons are tame, domesticated. My friends, many of these sermons, the men from Babylon could preach those sermons. And by the way, they buy their sermons from Babylon preachers online and come serve you from Babylon's table. And you eat that thing up. You say, oh, I'm so strong, but you don't even know. As Elder C.D. Brooks once said, you're eating donkey food. And C.D. Brooks called those SDA people in the pews that they are barley glut. Barley! No substance. We want wheat, but you're serving donkey food. Barley! Look at what the Bible says in verse number 15 to verse number 20. They brought in the singing. They brought in the music. They brought in the dancing. They brought in the nakedness. In the church, come as you are, but you won't stay as you are. It's because the present truth is void. And I don't care how you feel and what you want to say. I prefer to receive God's applause, not your applause. God's applause. And as I preach, many people are going to be sorry the day I was born. Skip on down to verse number 27 and verse 28. They were stubborn and rebellious, and the majority of them lost their lives. Oh, my friends. All because of worldliness. All because the place was void of present truth. Second selected messages. Page 36 clearly says, my friends, what's happening in various camp meetings? And yet they're saying, SDAs are saying that Sister White is not inspired. Well, what she wrote is happening right now. What will come in the church just before is not inspired. Well, what she wrote is happening right now. What will come in the church just before the close of probation? She says, shouting with drums, music, and dancing. Why are these things coming into the churches? Watch carefully. black words on the line. It says the senses of rational beings will become so confused they cannot be trusted to make right decision. And this is called the moving of the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Spirit never reveals itself in such methods. It's a bedlam of noise. Watch this. Last words. It says this is an invention of Satan to cover up his ingenious methods for making of none effect the pure, sincere, ennobling, elevating, sanctifying truth for this time. So when you see a local SDA church with the music, the drums, the shouting and dancing, it means that present truth is not in that place. Not my words, inspiration. When the camp meeting is ended, when what? When the camp meeting is ended, even if present truth was preached at those camp meetings, the people will not receive the blessing from that present truth sermon. Listen to me attentively. I don't like doing this. But when present truth is void in our churches and they bring in entertainment, competition, the fun, the jokes, the frivolity, the frolic, we are told now that people don't focus on evangelism and they become useless Seventh-day Adventists. Oh, they're going to stone me now. Pastor, you're calling me useless? Watch this. Listen.
Now we see the creation of a new massive class of useless people. As computers become better and better in more and more fields, there is a distinct possibility that computers will outperform
useless. In other words, once AI and automation take away people's jobs in America, the people have no job, they have no purpose in life, they become useless. When Seventh-day Adventists, local members, refuse to do what God calls them to do, then who are they? They are useless. So now, in the secular, listen to me. If you don't like it, then do something about it. Go to God in prayer. It's me, Lord. It's me that's standing in the need of prayer. You know you aren't engaged in diligent Bible study. You know you lack a strong prayer life. You're not doing personal evangelism. You are useless. Let the truth cut. Run to Jesus. Is he not the great physician? Can he not heal? So now what will be the solution to people who have no jobs? AI, automation, take away their jobs. Yuval Harari says they will get drugs and video games. Pause right there. Drugs and video games? Watch this.
Do you have an answer in the book?
At present, the best guess we have is keep them happy with drugs and computer games.
Drugs and computer games. That is going to be the solution. Let's apply that now within the SDA community. When present truth is void, and only thing you find in many, not all, many of the local SDA churches is pride. Pride, fullness of bread. Yes, my friends, abundance of idleness. And they did not strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, no evangelism. That's Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse number 49. So what must you give them? Drugs and video games. Drugs make you addicted. Now, what is music? The world of music make them addicted. You know how I know? You tell them, take the drums out of the church. What are you talking about? They want to stone you because they're addicted. And it shows when you preach against their worldliness. What happens now, my friends? They want to throw black balls at you because now they're having withdrawal symptoms. They are addicted. How dare you preach against our idols? How dare you say such things? You are a troubler in Israel. Give them drugs and video games. No wonder many of the pastors in the pulpits, it's actually a game. Friends, just take a look. I actually had a broken heart as I listened to the sermons that were preached during the summer camp meetings all around the Seventh-day Adventist churches. Now, did I hear all of them? No. But I hear many of them. The sermons are a joke. Do we really believe that we're living in the last days? Do we believe it? There's no urgency. You think you're listening to a Baptist preacher. And listen, just to rile up the crowd and get the people to say, oh, that was a powerful message. As soon as the preacher is closing, the last 10 minutes, the organist has to play some song to get him to whoop and holler in the pulpit. Because the sermon has no substance. So when there's no substance, bringing the drugs, bringing the video games, bringing the clown show, Bozo the clown. I'm not going to be quiet, friends. People are useless. Come on.
I think we'll just end up doing universal basic income. It's going to be necessary.
I don't like doing this.
The harder challenge is how do people then have meaning?
Meaning.
Like a lot of people, they derive their meaning from their employment.
Yes. You take away their jobs, how will they have meaning? Friends, I talk about these things not to lambaste SDA preachers, not to berate them. I'm addressing apostasies and saying, and if God's preachers would just come on one accord in spirit, in truth, we could be a threat to Satan's kingdom more than how we are right now, because there is strength in numbers. So I talk about these things to awaken the local people. The power is in your hands. Don't sit there, have that preacher prescribed poison for your mind, poison for your children. When you go to a doctor, don't you ask the doctor, why did you choose this prescription? You question what he... Oh, you don't? Doc, whatever you say, yeah? Is that what you do? They ask you, are you allergic to this or that? Tell the pastor, you are allergic to precious truth messages. You're allergic to Babylon sermons coming from his lips. You're allergic to false doctrine. Allergic to sermons that exalt no standards. You're allergic. You want present truth. You have the power. Exodus chapter 3. The Bible tells us the account of Moses typifies the account of God's people in the last days. The Bible tells us in chapter 3 of Exodus and verse number 11, the Bible says, God said to Moses, I'm going to send you down to deliver my people from bondage. God is saying, Andrew and a few other preachers in SDA, I'm going to send you to Mount Carmel. I'm going to send you to deliver my people who are now in bondage. Bondage to what? False doctrine. Bondage to what? Sin. Deliver my people and bring them to this mountain where they can serve me. Look at verse 12, Exodus chapter 3. When thou hast brought forth Israel, the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God where? Come on now, serve God where? Serve God on this mountain. What mountain was that? What mountain was that? Bring them from bondage to this. What mountain was that? That was Mount Sinai. Exodus chapter 19. Put it down. Exodus chapter 19. That was Mount Sinai. Exodus 20. That was Mount Sinai. And what does it mean to serve God on a mountain? To serve means to worship. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 10, to serve means to worship. So when we go to modern day Mount Carmel on social media, when we go house to house, lead the people from bondage to serve God obeying lovingly his 10 commandments. That's clear, my friends, say amen. Yes, 10 commandments. So people want to learn, how do I get victory over sin? Steps to Christ gives the answer. Look what this says. Come off my screen. It says here, many are inquiring, How may I, how am I to make the surrender of myself to God? Is that your inquiry today? How do I lovingly obey God's Ten Commandments? The same people who said God's commandments were nailed to the cross are the same ones now saying, Trump, governors in Louisiana, in Texas, Oklahoma, now by law, force schools, force teachers, force students to obey the Ten Commandments. But you all said the Ten Commandments were nailed to the cross. They are drunk. But now we must tell them how to obey God's Ten Commandments. How am I to make the surrender of myself to God? You desire to give yourself to God, but you are weak in moral power, weak in slavery to doubt, and controlled by the habits of your life of sin. Your promises and resolutions are like ropes of sand. You can't control your thoughts. You cannot control your impulses. Your affections, you can't control your affections. You go into your kitchen, you say, don't eat late at night, but you find yourself tiptoeing out of bed, downstairs, in the pantry, in the refrigerator, when nobody's watching, but Jesus is watching. You can't control your affections. Listen, the knowledge of your broken promises and forfeited pledges weakens your confidence in your own sincerity. And these things cause you to feel that God can't accept you. Do you feel that way? But don't be despair. Don't despair. What you need to understand and what we must tell them is the true force of the will. The what? My friends, it's not pill power. You go to the doctor, he gives you a pill. It's not pill power to overcome sin. It's will power. Do I hear amen? Amen. Everything depends on the right action of the will, the power of choice God has given to man. It is theirs to exercise. You can't change your heart. You can't change your heart. You cannot give yourself to God. You can surrender your affections, but you can talk to me. What it says, you can choose to serve God. You can give him your will. And then Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and verse 13 says, it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Move on. Once you deliver my people from bondage, from deception, from misinformation, from disinformation, from conspiracies, bring them to the mountain to serve me, to worship me. The mountain represents a place to worship God in spirit and in truth. And that's why I preach against apostasy. Because imagine if every local SDA church and the pastors were on fire for God in present truth, how many people could we meet on social media and point them to a literal spiritual mountain to worship God in spirit and in truth? But remember, J.J. Carroll said, not only is there apostasy in the Roman Catholic Church, but how is it Christian churches are promoting LGBT? John chapter 4. That's why I talk about these things. Yes, friends, God wants an army, a church faithful to him, faithful ministry. John chapter 4, look at verse 20 through verse 24. Our fathers, said the woman from Samaria, worship in the mountain. In the where? In the mountain. But you say we must worship in Jerusalem. What did Christ say now in verse 21? Let me tell you something, woman. Believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Verse 23, listen now. But the true worshipers will worship God in what? Two things, talk to me. In spirit and in truth. Yes, and what shows us truth? The law shows us truth. Worship God in spirit. Worship God in truth. Christ is the truth, but what shows us truth? The Ten Commandments, Psalm 119 and verse 142. So now, once we bring people from bondage, like Moses, bring them to the mountain. The mountain represents a place where people can be converted. Can be what? Converted. Matthew chapter 17. May I ask you a question? May I ask you a question? Where was Christ when two men came down to have an interview with him? Where was Christ? On what mount? On what mount? On what mount? Matthew chapter 17, verse number 1, verse number 2. It's called the Mount of Transfiguration. Transfigure means to change. Transfigure means to change. And what was Christ doing on the Mount of Transfiguration? Luke chapter 9 and verse 28. He was praying. And who came down to converse with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration? It was what two men? Moses and Elijah. Watch now. Christ, Mount of Transfiguration. Elijah came down. Elijah, Mount Carmel. What a connection. If that's clear, my friends, say amen. Moses, Mount Sinai. If that's clear, my friends, say amen. And what was Christ doing on that mount? He was praying. So when we call folks from Babylon, we must teach them how to pray. Why do you think I spend much time in this church talking about how to pray? How to commune with God evening, morning, and at noon? Put down Luke chapter 6. And verse 12, even all night prayer meeting, conversion, in a book called Messages to Young People. Page 131 says, I saw how this grace of God could be obtained. I saw how we could get victory over sin. He says, go to your closet and there alone plead with God. Say, create in me a clean heart, O God. It says, being earnest, be sincere, Jacob-like, wrestle with God in prayer, and don't leave your closet. Don't stop praying until you feel strong in God. Then watch and pray. And just as long as you watch and pray, you can keep evil besetments under. Amen. And the grace of God, the power of God, the victory of God can and will appear in you. That's page 131 of Messages to Young People. Book that, my friends. Go with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 2. It's time to bring people to the mountain. So when we go to modern day Mount Carmel on social media, we're simply there to sow seeds, to water seeds, to use baits, to bring people to a place where they can receive further truth, to worship Christ in spirit and in truth. Isaiah chapter 2. If you're there, my friends, say amen. Look at verse 2. It shall come to pass in what days? If you're there, you're not there. Are you there? It shall come to pass in what days? In what days, everybody? One more time. In the last days. What will happen in the last days? That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established. The what, my friend, shall be established? So in the last days, God is going to establish his mountain. Look at verse 2. And who will flow into God's mountains in the last days? Talk to me. Who will flow into God's mountains in the last days? Who? Who? One more time. Who? Last phrase, verse 2, and all nations shall flow into it. How do we know we're living in the last days? How do we know? Hold your place in Isaiah chapter 2. Look at verse 18. Verse 18 says, God will destroy their idols. Look at verse 19. When God is about to destroy their idols in the last days, verse 19 says, and the unrepentant sinners will be running into the holes. Run into the rocks, run into the caves. Verse 20, they'll cast their silver in the ground. They'll cast your gold into the ground as useless, as worthless. Verse 21, they'll hide in the clefts of the rocks. Last days. What text comes to your mind? That they're running, Evangelist Ryan. Buchanan, what now? Revelation 6, go there with me. At the second coming of Christ, what will the unrepentant people be doing? What will they be doing? In verse number 14, the heaven departed as a scroll. Verse number 15, and the kings of the earth, the great men, and who? The rich men, the ones in Isaiah 2, casting silver away and gold away. The rich men, chief captains, what do they do in verse 15? And every free man hide themselves in the dens, in the rocks, in the mountains, saying, fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb that sits upon the throne. In other words, they're running to a mountain, but that mountain doesn't have power to deliver. So when must we go to God's true mountain? When must we come to God's true mountain? Isaiah chapter 2 now. Look at verse number 2. It says, nations shall flow into God's mountain. What message must go to all nations? If you don't know this, how are you going to be with Christ in bringing people to his mountain? The place of truth, the place of true worship, where they can be converted. What message must go to all nations? So put it down. The three angels' messages. What scripture is that? That's chapter 14 and verse 6 of Revelation. Verse 7 through verse 12. It must go to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And what says the fourth angel? In chapter 18 of Revelation. And verse 2 and verse 4. Babylon is what? Is fallen. Is fallen. Come out of her, my people. Will they flow from Babylon? Where will they flow to? They'll flow to God's mountain. Go to verse 3. Verse 3 says, as they come to God's mountain, the Bible says, God will teach them his ways. His what? His ways. What shows us God's ways? Where are God? Come on now. I heard it. Where are God's ways? In the sanctuary. Psalm 77 and verse 13. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. So what must be taught in the local SDA churches to bring people in? What must be taught, my friends? The sanctuary message. Day of Atonement. It's almost over. Verse 3. And we, once we come to God's mountains, will walk in God's path. What path is this? Put down path. The new path or the old path? New path or the old path? Jeremiah, old path. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 says, thus saith the Lord, stand you in the ways and see, ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest unto your souls. But some people say, we will not walk therein. Isaiah chapter 2, look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, God's mountain is called the Mount of Jerusalem. Verse 3. So which mountain is Jerusalem in 2024? Not a place in the Middle East. Jerusalem in 2024 is a place of truth. A place of what? Put down Zechariah chapter 8. And verse number 3 says, Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth. Verse number 2 again, pardon me. Verse number 3, and many people shall go and say, come to God's mountain. So who must call the nations to God's mountain? What is that highway that goes into almost every nation? It's the internet. It's social media. Go and call them to come to God's mountain. So who must we call? My friends, God has called us not to preach to angels, but to preach to sinners. Go call the sinners. Go call the drunkards. They're drinking Babylon's wine. Go call the harlots. Harlots? Because they're presently a part of Babylon. Babylon, the mother of, finish it, the mother of harlots. We must preach to drunkards. Preach to harlots. But some of us, we don't like people being around people. Many of us are selfish. What do you mean? When we go to call these people, many of them will come in and they will dress like prostitutes. That's all they have. But we want to cast them out. That's all they have. Come as you are to some extent. You don't come inside your naked, amen? Come as you are, but you won't stay as you are. Go call the nations to come to God's mountain. By the way, some of them who are coming in, they may smell like ganja. They may smell like marijuana. They may smell rink like cannabis. We have to call them in. God didn't call us to preach to angels, but to preach to sinners. Yes, come to God's mountain. Some of them will come in with tattoos. Some will come in with piercings all over them. Come as you are, but you won't stay as you are. They're coming in with jewelry. They're coming in with filthy conversation. Even Peter cursed filthy communication. Come. Many of them may come in with bad odor. Come. I remember in New York City, in Mamre Church, by God's grace, I raised up an army of young people. And we went every Sunday during the week to evangelize in the city. Yes, friends. And we met some people, and some of them didn't have a bath for a day or two. We brought them back to the church, and the church leaders ran them out the church. And the young people were discouraged. Go ask any young people back there in 2002 at Mamre SDA Church. And after we rebelled in the Lord, protested against this uncouth behavior from leaders in the church against those who need Christ. They're coming from bondage to Christ. They gave us liberty, and two were baptized from the world as a result of that ministry. Go call them to come. But some of us don't like people. We're selfish. Which doctor claims to be a doctor but don't like to be around people? You're not a doctor. How could you claim to be a doctor and say, well, I don't like the sight of blood? How could you be a surgeon and say you don't like the sight of blood? Nurses, well, I want to be a nurse, but I don't like the sight of blood. Huh? You can't be a nurse. I want to be a nurse, but, you know, I don't like to be around people. You can't be a nurse. By the way, you can't be a medical missionary. Several years ago, there at Oakwood, went one summer for medical missionary training there in Tennessee. Some young people came. Oh, they're happy, don't want to be medical missionaries. And a patient came in, and that patient could not hold his bowels. And one young man was working with the lead physician, with this man who was sick and could not hold his bowels. And he began to defecate on himself. And that young man ran from the room. What's wrong? I can't stand the scent. How could you be a medical missionary and you can't stand feces? You can't be a missionary. I don't care if it's feces that look like little balls. I don't care if it's feces that look like Don's River Falls diarrhea. Put your hand in the grime, in the mess, because you want to minister to a soul. Jesus looks at us, and sin in Christ's nostrils stinks. What if Christ acted toward us as we look at people? We have to get our hands dirty. Matthew chapter 21. Go there with me. Where are we going to, my friends? Yes. Call the people from bondage, from slavery, from sin, and bring them to God's mountains. Come as you are, but they won't stay as they are. Matthew 21, look at verse 31. This one, did not do his master's will. And Christ says, verily I say unto you, that the publicans, the who, and the harlots, the who, go into God's kingdom before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believe John not, but the publicans, the harlots believe John, and the publicans and the harlots repented. Come as you are to God's mountain. Come to Safe to Serve local. Come to Safe to Serve online. But you never remain the way how you are. Jesus, the Bible says, is a friend of sinners. Jesus is a friend of harlots. Jesus, a friend of drunkards. Jesus, a friend of those who are publicans. How is it you're saying you want to do evangelism, but you're running away from people that have mental challenges? Oh, they're demon possessed. Did Christ run away from the two men who were possessed? No, the disciples ran away. Matthew chapter 11. Go call them to come to God's mountain. I hope this changes your outlook on ministry. Matthew chapter 11. Look at verse 19. Imagine you have a plumber. He said, listen, I'm coming to fix your pipe, but I don't want water to get on my hands. What kind of plumber is that? Listen, yeah, I'm a construction worker, but I don't want to get my fingers dirty. I want to do farming, but I don't want to put my nails in the dirt. You shouldn't eat then. Matthew chapter 11, look at verse 19. We want to win souls, but we don't want to come beside people. We are told we must come close to the people. Get close to the people. Some of them may have the wrong order. Come close to the people. Matthew chapter 11, look at verse 19. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber. Who is he? A friend of whom? A friend of publicans. A friend of sinners. Christ called us to preach to sinners, not to angels. No. Volume 4, I believe. Volume 4, page 75. It says, there are disagreeable duties. There are what, friends? Talk to me. There are what? There are disagreeable duties that somebody must do. Must do. Our souls will be left to perish. Lord have mercy. Christians, Safe to Serve members, will find a blessing in doing these duties. You want to be a medical missionary? You may have to take your hand and put your hand up in someone's anus to unclog constipated feces. Go ask Mamie and Wilson what I'm talking about. Use castor oil in some... That's grotesque, Pastor. You can't be a soul winner. You can't be a soul winner. Somebody is actually dying, convulsing, and froth is coming from their mouth. And you have to go there and wipe that thing up. And it may smell just as bad how it looks. Do you really want to win souls? What caused that scent? Sin. If you don't want to get your hands dirty, then stay clear of sin. That's how sin smells. Like feces, like urine. Only one amen. Breaking news. I don't preach for amens. Christians will find a blessing in doing these duties, however unpleasant they might be. Look at Christ now. Christ took the disagreeable task upon himself of coming from the abode of purity and unsurpassed glory to dwell a man among men in a world seared and blackened by crime, violence, and iniquity. He did this to save your souls. I don't want to get dirty. He did this to save your souls. Just compare heaven to the sinful world. He did this to save souls. And shall we, the objects of such amazing love and unparalleled condescension, excuse our lives of selfish ease? Shall we choose our own pleasure, follow our own inclinations, and leave souls to perish in darkness because we will meet with disappointment, because we will meet with rebuffs, because people may slam the doors in our faces, because people may call us names. Shall we not labor because we shall meet with disappointment and rebuffs if we labor to save souls? Christ paid an infinite price for man's redemption. And shall man say, my Lord, I would not labor in thy vineyard. Please have me excused. Revelation 21. I close right here. Where are we going to, my friends? Revelation 21. Two calls to two mountains. Two calls to two mountains. Revelation 21. I hope we grow to love people, because that's the true fast. Isaiah 58, that you hide not yourself from your own flesh. That you hide not yourself from your own flesh. Deal thy bread to the hungry. Clothe the naked. Those who are cast out, bring them to your home. And that you hide not yourself from your own flesh. Revelation 21. Two calls to two mountains. And the first call is to come to God's mountain. A local church. A local home church. A local group where people can be converted. A local home church where people can worship God in spirit and in truth. The second call, the second mountain, is to New Jerusalem. Verse 9, chapter 21 of Revelation. Look at the last phrase of verse 9. The word says, come. Come, come hither. I will show thee the bride, underscore bride. I'll show thee the bride. The bride, the Lamb's wife. And verse number 10 tells us who that bride is. Verse 10, he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. Underscore mountain. To a great and high mountain and showed me the great what? So what is God's great city? The mountain. What is God's mountain? A great city. What city is that? Verse number 10, it's holy Jerusalem. Come to God's mountain. Come to God's new Jerusalem. Who wants to be there, my friends? Hold on. Hold your place. Hold your place. In Revelation 21, go to Daniel chapter 2. Why is this image behind me? Why is this image behind me? This image of Daniel chapter 2. Come. What is that stone? What is that stone? One application. That stone is New Jerusalem. That stone is New Jerusalem. Daniel 2, look at verse 35. Last phrase says of verse 35, and the stone that smote the image. What smote the image? Come on, talk to me. What smote the image and break it in pieces? What? And the stone, underscore stone, and the stone that smote the image became a what? A great mountain. The stone became a great mountain. The stone breaks the image in pieces and became a great mountain. So what is that stone that became a great mountain? Look at verse 44. Verse 44 of Daniel 2. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven shall set up a what? A kingdom. So what will God's kingdom do? Look at verse 44. Last phrase. But it. What's the it? God's kingdom. But God's kingdom shall break in pieces. What smites the image? The stone became a great mountain. And what will God set up? His kingdom. And what will God's kingdom do? It will break the image in pieces, break all kingdoms. So what is that final kingdom? It's God's holy kingdom. It's God's new Jerusalem. And what is that last call? Come to New Jerusalem. Come, I close. Come, Revelation 21, verse 9. Come, the bride is New Jerusalem in verse 10. Come is that great and high mountain. Look now at Revelation 22 and verse 17. two things are calling us to come. Two things are calling us. Verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Who is the Spirit? That's God's Holy Spirit. So what is the bride? What is the bride? The Spirit and the bride say, come. New Jerusalem is calling. This is what we call in grammar personification. That which is inanimate has animate life features. Can a building speak? But the bride said, come. New Jerusalem is saying, come. Let him that hear say, come. Have you heard it? Have you heard it say, come? So when we hear God say, come, when we hear New Jerusalem say, come, what must we echo to people in our homes, in our family, on the job, at school, in the marketplace, on modern day Mount Carmel, on the internet? What must we say? We must say, come. Let him that is athirst come. They're thirsty. And Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 says, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Finish it. For they shall be filled. Let him that is athirst say, come. Whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. Who wants the water of life? Will you come? Mark verse 22. Will you come? And that's why I love the song that says, I've wandered far away from God, but now I am coming home. The paths of sin too long I trod, but now I'm coming home, coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide than arms of love, that's God. Open wide the gates of New Jerusalem. Because now I'm coming home. The second stanza says, have wasted many precious years, but now I'm coming home. And now repent with bitter tears. Now I'm coming home. Will you come home? Coming home, coming home. Nevermore to roam. Open wide than arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. That third stanza says, I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I'm coming home. I trust thy love, believe thy word. Now I'm coming home, coming home, coming home. Nevermore to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Open wide the gates of New Jerusalem. Lord, I am coming home. What do you say? Will you go home? Have you reserved your ticket? Go home. What a journey. Go home. Go home. Go home. Did God speak to your heart today, my friends? Did God speak to your heart today? And that's why we began the Bible class online, to get people ready for baptism, rebaptism, so they can be in God's last army of workers to bring the work of salvation to fruition. We're either in that number or in a lost condition. What is my decision today? Lord, I'm coming home. Aren't you tired of this world? Do you not want to go home? Just this week, somebody else I heard died. A young woman about in her 50s, unexpectedly. And now a family right here is preparing for a burial. Aren't you sick and tired of sin? Aren't you sick and tired of straying? It's time to go home, friends. Come home to Christ. He's calling, come home. And the longer we take, the more we delay, the more difficult it is going to be. I'm going to pray right now. You pray in your mind, Lord, I surrender all. Thank you for this word today. Make me one of your servants in the last days. Make me be in your mountain on the earth, spirit and in truth, in that great mountain when you return. I want to be inside that mountain, New Jerusalem, and not be on the outside. I read one day, it's going to be transparent glass. Those on the inside can see those on the outside. Imagine who shall be on the outside of that great mountain, New Jerusalem. I want to be inside. How about you? Well, your decision today will determine if you'll be on the inside or on the outside, because tomorrow is not guaranteed. Who today say, Lord, I surrender all? Why not raise your hand right now? Hands down. Is there anyone? It's not too late. I want Bible studies. I want to be baptized. I want to be rebaptized. I want to make certain of my salvation, because Christ came down in the gutter for me. I don't deserve it. And today, I want to give him what he paid for. Why not raise your hand right now? Lord, I want studies. I want to be converted. Yes, brother. Anybody else? I want this experience. Is there one more? Don't look around. Look at yourself. At yourself. At yourself. Those of you online, do we see your need? Join me in prayer. We're going to pray right now. And once I pray, I'm going to rise up and I'm going to ask you for the answer for the quiz. What were those four mountains? What were they? What were they? Father in heaven. Father in heaven. What a word, what a word. Father in heaven. We're thankful today for the outpouring of your Spirit. We're thankful today that you gave us fresh bread from heaven's bakery, not Jezebel's, not the devil's table. Thankful for the wake-up call, the warning, the different perspectives, truth shown bright. Oh, dear God, may we find ourselves in the true mountain, the local congregation, where present truth is, in preparation to go call others to come to this mountain, in preparation again to be in that number going home with you, and to find our place walking through New Jerusalem, that great and high mountain. May we be in that number, please, Lord. We're tired of sin and straying, Lord. We're coming home. Accept every hand that was raised locally, those online. Bless all the people in the Bible class getting ready for baptism. Seal and save us, we pray. We thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Who has those four mountains? Don't shout. Raise your hand. All right. I'm going to go in the back right there and come right here. My brother in the back, give me one. Don't look around. It's you. Give me one. Yes. Give me one. Give us one. What now? Mount Carmel. All right, my sister, right here. Mount Sinai. I got two over here. Let me get one right here. Mount of Transfiguration. Let me get one more over here. Don't shout at me, friends. We are animals, amen? In the back. What's the name of God's mountain? It's called what? Give me a name for it. New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. Yes. So, friends, at this time, we're going to close our service. We'll begin this evening after our fellowship lunch and evangelism in the community. We'll come back at the appointed time for our Bible class and also defend your faith service. Stay tuned for the announcement for the time. God bless.